Hello, it is the Internet and Society podcast, where we discuss how the digital impacts our lives and shapes our future. Today we will talk about a topic which concerns in one or another way many of us, including myself as a university teacher. It is the digitalization of education and the outcomes of it for our society. I'm very glad to welcome our guest today. It's Gergana Vladova from the Weizenbaum Institute for the Networked Society, the German Internet Institute. Hello, Gergana.
Hello, Anna.
Gergana heads a research group, Education and Advanced Training in the Digital Society at the Weizenbaum Institute. She holds a PhD in Business Informatics from the University of Potsdam and researches on education in the context of digitalization, knowledge management, and innovation management. Hello again, Gergana, and thank you for taking your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
And my first question is about your current research on the impact of corona crisis on education. You conducted interviews and surveys with educators. It was a very fast reaction to the crisis, by the way, that you already do research on that. I'm impressed. What can we learn from the experience of educators you've been interviewing?
It was at the beginning a very exciting situation for me because when I first talked to our research partners in Hong Kong and in China, the shutdown of the schools and universities here was not really foreseeable. So in Hong Kong, the first experience was already made last year when teaching at my research partner's university was interrupted in autumn 2019 for other reasons, for the student protests there. And since we have joint hybrid classroom courses as one teaching activity, I was able to gain some initial insights already during the winter semester last year. And so I wanted to ask them and our research partners in China how everything is developing and what are the experiences there. They gave me a kind of a glimpse into our future because we were also able to make these experiences very soon after this. And the main message was that they were completely surprised by the situation, exactly as we were, and that they organized themselves quickly and managed everything centrally. So the most important thing for them was that they had a good basis for exchange among each other in the teaching team, and that they kept a lot of orientation guidelines and used them as a starting point for the development of common teaching concepts. So what they gave me as a thought, I can also observe here. So after the first teaching units here, which served as a kind of orientation and actually gave the teachers an additional technical security, so how exactly to use technique, a question came into light, for example, which concerns much more the nature of learning as a social shared reality. So also what learners can be expected to do, because 8 hours in front of the computer is not the same as 8 hours in the classroom.
You're right.
Yeah, and it's also known, for example, from innovation research that the creation of innovative ideas requires pauses and situations in which the brain does not work intensively. So it's also very important in learning to give our brain time to allocate everything, to relax, and then to be able to focus once again. So in other words, social interaction at schools and university play a decisive role in the learning process, and I think that's something we intuitively recognize. It doesn't depend on our nationality or culture. As human beings, in every conversation with children right now, even on the news, the first thing they mention when they talk about the crisis and learning at home is that they miss their friends at school, so that we have in common.
That's very interesting. You're right, social interaction is quite different online. What are, in your view, actually the fundamental differences in online education compared to offline? What exactly do we lack if we do not have physical presence in the process of learning, apart from what you've already mentioned with socializing? Can you imagine a situation where the biggest part of our education will take place online? And what will we miss if it will be the case?
So in my opinion, despite of all the positive effects associated with digitalization of teaching, so we have a lot of positive effects such as personalization, consideration of individual needs, independence of time and space, and so on. But it's clear that the mere institution of knowledge transfer through teaching from the real world to the digital world is not possible without taking into account the specific conditions of this other world, of this new world, such as the very different challenge of sensory perception, as you said, the lack of immediate social contact, the necessary change of the scenery in between the process of learning, and the role of the teachers, which is not covered by passing of certain information and observing and controlling the learning process. That's a task that many parents have to take in times of corona. But teachers are much more. They are understood by their students and by the children as an authority that is not only valid for themselves, but for their whole social environment in the classroom. So such psychological and social conditions play a very important role and are established in our collective memory, I can say. So in our memory as a society and as human beings. I would also say they are part of a social constructed reality for which at the moment no comparable constructs exist in the virtual world. So lecturers and students, pupils and teachers feel the contrast between the familiar classical learning environment and the newly created one.
That's interesting what you've mentioned, this shared experience. And you talk here more about school education, shared experience of going to school, which unites us across different countries. You mentioned also the challenges parents have now in this new reality. And indeed, there are on the one hand many chances, which you talked about. But on the other hand, there are also threats. Digitalization, for instance, could deepen gaps between children with different social backgrounds, or even maybe could lead to a new structural discrimination, because there are families who can afford high-quality mentoring of their children, have good computers and tablets at home, and those who do not. Will education going online reinforce some tensions and gaps in our society?
You're absolutely right, and we can see it at the moment in context of this COVID-19 crisis very clearly. And it's funny, but it starts, it's actually not funny, it's tragic. It starts with the smallest things, not necessarily directly with the learning process. So as I learned, for example, current discussions with research partners in other countries show that other inequalities can arise when schools are closed, although they have never been consciously associated with the learning process. For example, children from socially disadvantaged families will miss not only their lessons, but also their lunch at school's canteens. And school buses in the United States will suddenly have to deliver that lunch to the families.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Or that a family with three school children and only two tablets faces a logistical problem when all three have to learn digitally at the same time, and not to mention families without such facilities at all. And this shows actually how strongly our educational structures are linked to social structures and processes, and that is by far not only about technology, but about complex constructs and relationships, all of which must be taken into account. And this is an issue everywhere, especially for school children who are very dependent on the domestic situation and on the authority of their parents. So education is a topic is transferred even more strongly during the crisis into the social space, because suddenly it's not the methodological competencies of the teachers that are decisive for the learning process, but the possibilities and abilities of the parents to support the children. And we have the same problems with students sometimes, because not everyone has their own quiet place to study. It's a very interesting time to take a look into all these inequalities that are only some examples. There's a lot of different issues on this topic that should be taken into consideration at the moment.
Does it mean that the good old school, which kind of smoothens the inequalities, is the best solution? That after the pandemic, we should better just go back to normal, to offline education? Or will this time of going online inevitably leave its traces on this education system?
I think it's not a coincidence that schools and universities have been established as a concept in exactly this form for so long. And I see it as a great chance that the crisis will bring to the fore precisely those limits that are associated with the digitalization of teaching, especially with regard to the comparison of the learning conditions they offer. I will not say that it's impossible with digital learning to create very good learning conditions, quite the contrary. However, it's necessary to shape the initial conditions in a smart way and to be aware of the individual situation of the learner. In my opinion, and all the interviews that I conducted with our research partners show me that I'm not alone with this opinion, the hybrid learning is the learning of the future, I think, because all learning and teaching concepts have their chances and their risks, and we have to learn to use both sides of each learning condition.
Yeah, kind of find a balance.
Exactly.
And hybrid is, I guess, a buzzword in many disciplines right now. Not separating from online from offline in a sense.
Exactly.
My next question is more on adult education at universities, as far as you also do research and knowledge production. On the one hand, digitalization democratizes adult education. Anyone can now attend courses from the Harvard University or acquire skills on Coursera. But on the other hand, it endangers the existing structures of legitimizing knowledge and expertise. You can gather some skills in online courses, get a certificate from some Instagram influencer, and call yourself an expert already, as a lot of people do, actually. You can kind of build your own educational trajectory without getting formal education. Do you also see this trend, and what does it mean for our society?
As a university teacher, I can only contribute with my own opinion and observation on this subject. I did not research on this topic at the moment, only in very small research projects with students, but I find it exciting, and I know that the role of these self-study offers is growing enormously, not only at the moment, the last years. So no student can get through the studies without using them. And I also know that many students wish that skills acquired this way play just as much a role as diplomas from university or from a school. So I think this will also be the case at some point, but only when quality standards and confidence in them can be offered. So that's not really the case at the moment. So people study at the university also because of their life experiences they can gain there. However, you are forced at the moment in the digitalized world to learn for life and not only for one part of your life. And this is not compatible with fixed university procedures. So I think it's an interesting topic to research. And I think we should start with a kind of acceptance study, for example, in order to find out how do students feel when thinking on this topic, and then with quality standards that should be developed so that students or that people have more confidence with diplomas like this.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and maybe the solution will be also a hybrid one.
Yeah.
Where you have university diplomas and additional certificates from like Coursera. You know, I've recently stumbled over an interesting metaphor about education, that education is kind of giving birth to a personality or to an expert. And it's impossible to give birth to yourself. In the beginning, you cannot know what exactly you need to become a good specialist in the field.
Yeah.
The best example is medical doctors. They can't choose. They have to learn sometimes things they maybe don't want to.
I think it's a very, very important also that school children cannot appreciate the importance of this gaining of knowledge, but they can feel affection, praise, and that strengthens them enormously. I think it's exactly here that it is necessary to differentiate when talking about online teaching according to the age groups, and the needs of these age groups are different, and learning is sometimes more and sometimes less primarily connected with the imparting of knowledge, which can succeed well with technology. We need to learn also other things, not only facts about something.
I guess actually that learning to learn digitally is a very important competence that should be now taught at schools, how you gain knowledge online. And once you know how to learn online and offline, it will be easier to assess and choose your individual path of learning.
For teachers in the moment at schools and university, learn exactly this, how to teach digitally. So I think the first issue was how to use the technology, and now it is how to be a good teacher using this technology in this new virtual world, how to create new teaching concepts. I think the most important thing is not to be afraid to make mistakes at the moment as a teacher in order to develop these new competences through experience.
Right, and my last question is exactly about that, your personal experience as a teacher, because you've been also experiencing this transition to online-only teaching at the university in the past weeks. What is your main takeaway from this experience? Maybe a didactic tool, a trick that you find helpful and could share with us?
I've been able to gather a great deal of experience at the moment, and I think that will help me a lot to reflect on what my role is and what is the stuff learning processes are made of. So the first thing I noticed was how important it is for me to see the students when I teach something, when I present something.
Same for me.
Yes, it is so that many of them, of the students in some lecture seminars, all of them turn it off their microphones and the cameras, and you present and feel like, my guess is like an astronaut in space. So it's absolutely silence, and you have your headphones on, and the only voice there is your voice. It's a very strange feeling. So above all, I have noticed also in conversation with other teachers how we are made aware in social interaction to notice how we are received by others. So to receive some signs, sometimes very small signs, and to direct our action accordingly to these signs. For example, am I speaking too fast? Am I speaking too slowly? Do they understand me? Do they have any questions? So as a teacher, you can perceive all this intuitively.
Yeah.
And this is not possible for us in this situation, especially in the absence of physical contact.
Yeah, right. And gaining knowledge is always an interaction. It's not a radio, not a one-way communication.
Exactly.
And you notice how important physicality is for this interaction.
Yeah.
Exactly, these small signs you usually perceive unconsciously.
I think it's important that for me, it's just a part of us, of the way we see the world as human beings. So that's, I think it will take time to change ourselves in order to accept this teaching space or virtual communication space the same way we accept the physical world.
Yeah, right. So your solution for this challenge would be, for instance, to ask students to switch on their cameras.
I think that the right word is netiquette. When we have teacher meetings, then we talk about this. And I think a lot of us are trying to develop a kind of netiquette at the moment, because it's a very difficult question. I think students are not used to be present like this, and some of them just tell you, oh, I'm sorry, but my connection is not good enough. I think it's comparable with excuses like the bus was too late. At the moment, it's like my connection, it's not good.
Yeah, a new set of classic excuses is being developed.
Exactly. That's why we need this netiquette for university students. My feeling at the moment is that all of us know what kind of challenges these are for all of us, for students and for teachers. And the atmosphere is very, very nice, and all of us understand the other group very well. It will take time, and I think we will develop a kind of culture, communication culture, teaching culture. To have this crisis is not a good situation, but we can use this situation at least in order to learn a lot about chances and risks.
Yeah, that's a very positive perspective. I like what you've said, that we all, teachers and students, right now are in the same boat. We'll learn together about how digital education can and should work.
And parents. A teacher learns.
Yeah, and parents. We don't forget about parents. They're of course also in this boat. Very important.
Yeah.
Gergana, thank you very much for this very interesting talk, and have a nice day.
Thank you for the questions, and same to you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye, Anna.
Bye-bye. This was the Internet and Society podcast. You can follow us on all the main podcast platforms. Thank you for listening. Please stay healthy and tune in for the next episode soon.